Thank you. Good morning, Claudia.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Thank you. That's got a very good prayer request this morning.
Brian, Gloria, Jefferson,
let's pray. Lord God of heaven, we're thankful to be gathered together this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness again and the mild wintertime weather here today. We just pray, Lord, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done. Lord, bless and help all those around the world, Lord, wherever they are, they're seeking to follow you. Lord, just help them, give them courage and strength, and those, Lord, Brother David and Portland just visited. We pray that you bless them too. And those in Guatemala and Mexico. And help us, Lord, each one follow you in our hearts and love you more than anything else. Bless these boys here and help them, Lord, to grow each one here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 89, Masoretic. Okay. Psalm 88, I think that's right, Olin, is that? You had Psalm 87, Olin, is that right, last week, maybe? I think I'm on track. But...
yeah, I'm not sure how my mind worked out here, but it has one after the real short one, 86, the 7 verses, I have one after that.
Okay, good, I get the one with 53 verses. Okay, let's read. This says here in my Bible, concerning understanding, it says at the beginning of the chapter, concerning understanding for Ethan the Israelite. Okay, so maybe whoever wrote this is seeking for understanding, trying to understand what's going on. It seems like that the Israelites were in a really hard time and their enemies were overcoming them. And they were being beaten and things were looking really dark for Israel when this psalm was written. So keep that in mind as we read. The psalmist is trying to understand what is going on, what the problem is. O Lord, I will sing of your mercies forever. I will proclaim your truth with my mouth from generation to generation. For you said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your truth shall be prepared in the heavens. I made a covenant with my chosen ones. I swore to David my servant, I shall prepare your seed forever, and I shall build your throne from generation to generation. Okay. Now this person that's seeking for understanding, trying to understand what's going on, does he start out just complaining and crying and blues and saying how terrible everything is? What does he start out with? How does that start?
Saying about God's mercy and saying how mercy.
Yes, right. Good. Yes, that's faith. Trusting in God, that God is good. Though, like Job said, though we slay him, yet will I trust him. Okay? God is good, even though we don't always understand what's going on. Verse 6, the heavens shall confess your wonders, O Lord, and your truth in the church of the saints. For who in the clouds shall be compared to the Lord, and who among the sons of God shall be compared to the Lord? God is glorified in the council of the saints. He is great and fearful for all round about you. O Lord God of hosts, who is like you? You are powerful, O Lord, and your truth is around you. You are master of the sea's strength, and you calm the surging of its waves. You humbled the arrogant man as though he were wounded, and with the arm of your power you scattered your enemies. The heavens belong to you, and the earth is yours. You founded the world and all its fullness. You created the north wind and the seas. Tabor and Hermon shall greatly rejoice in your name. That's two mountains over at Israel, big tall mountains. Your arm rules with power, Let your hand be strengthened. Let your right hand be exalted. The foundation of your throne is righteousness and judgment. Mercy and truth shall go before your face. Blessed are the people who know glad shouting, O Lord, they shall walk in the light of your face, and shall greatly rejoice in your name the whole day long. And they shall be exalted in your righteousness, for you are the boast of their power. And in your good pleasure our horn shall be exalted, for our defense is from the Lord and from the Holy One of Israel, our King. So it's just going down through, telling the greatness of God, of His goodness there, and talking about the strong arm of God and how He made the worlds, He rules the sea, the surging of the waves, the sea strength. God is the master of all. And that's our great God and how He is. And now it talks, starting in verse 20, it talks about God gave a vision, or He spoke to the people of old in the past, in Israel's past. God said, this is how I'm going to be toward those that follow me. So now let's read this. Okay, stay with me, boys. Think about what we're reading, okay? Don't just let your mind go. I know it's a long chapter. Okay. Then you spoke to your holy ones in a vision, and you said, I established help for a mighty one. I raised up a chosen one from my people. I found David my servant. I anointed him with my holy oil, for my hand shall support him and my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall have no advantage against him, and the sons of lawlessness shall not continue doing evil to him. I will cut his enemies to pieces before his face. I shall put to flight those who hate him. My truth and my mercy are with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will put his hand in the sea and his right hand in the river. He shall call upon me, saying, you are my Father, my God, and the protector of my salvation. I shall make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. I shall keep my mercy for him forever. My covenant shall be trustworthy with him. I shall establish his seed unto ages of ages, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they profane my ordinances and do not keep my commandments, I shall visit their transgressions with the rod and their sins with the whip. But I will not turn away my mercy from him, nor will I act unjustly with my truth, nor will I profane my covenant, and I will not reject the things that proceeded from my lips. Once for all I swore in my holy place that I would not lie to David. His seed shall remain forever, and his throne as the sun before me, and as the moon that is established forever, and is a faithful witness in heaven. God said he would be this way to those who follow him, to those that love him, to those that serve him and do what's right. Okay? God just gave his word that this is how I will be to those that know what righteousness is, but know how to be kind and good and honest and true. Okay, those kind of people, God is going to especially care for and watch out for and help them. That's the way God said he would be. But remember, Israel, it seems, right at this time it was written, was getting beat up by the enemies. They were being scattered and chased and humiliated and reproached. All these things were happening, and the psalmist is saying, why? What is it? You said that you would be this way to those that follow you. Okay. Now the psalmist is saying, starting with verse 39, he's saying, this is the way it has been going lately. So you said you would help us, support, strengthen those that follow you. 39, but you pushed him away and scorned him. You rejected your anointing. You overturned the covenant of your servant. You profaned his sanctuary to the ground. You pulled down all his walls. You put cowardice in his stronghold. All who traveled through there robbed him. He was a disgrace to his neighbors. You exalted the right hand of his enemies. You delighted all his adversaries. You turned away your help from his sword and did not support him in his war. You deprived him of purification. You broke his throne to pieces on the ground. You shortened the days of his time. You poured down shame upon him.
wanted to hear it either way, so I'm not going to say about it, but that's okay. Yes, okay, good. I think, too, like down in verse 33, or 32, if they profane my ordinances and do not keep my commandments, God would chastise them. He would punish them and try to get them to wake up. And probably you think maybe that's what's going on. Quite possibly Israel was not following. God was going astray. And so God was trying to wake them up and letting them get beaten from their enemies for a time. Yes, very good. Okay, let's keep reading now. Verse 47. How long, O Lord, will you turn away? To the end? Will your wrath always burn like fire? Let my substance be remembered as to what sort it is. For did you create all the sons of men in vain? What kind of man is there who will live and not see death? Will he deliver his soul from the hand of Hades? Or what's Hades? Sorry.
Where the people wait.
Okay. The grave, of course. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Will he deliver his soul from the hand of Hades? And I wonder, verse 49 too, what kind of man is there who will live and not see death? What kind of man does it take to please the Lord? What kind of life? How shall we live to please God? So we will live and not see death. What kind of man would that be? A real good question. Where, O Lord, are your mercies of old, which in your truth you swore to David? Remember, O Lord, the reproach of your servant, my bore in my bosom, the reproach of many nations, wherewith your enemies scorn. O Lord, wherewith they scorn the chain of your anointed. Blessed is the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. What do you think would be the lesson, just in a few words, that we can learn here from this whole verse concerning understanding what was he saying?
If you don't
what problems
you
do,
he's gonna
get punished. Okay. Sure. If he loves you, yeah. If he cares about you, and God does care about people. Okay. What else? What else do you think? What else can we learn from this? Okay. How about just to be good, right? To be good, to be righteous, to do what's right, to love the right, and not to lie and try to deceive others, not try to be greedy and grasping and thieving and trying to get everything for yourself, but thinking about other people and helping them out. To be that kind of person. And God will help. That kind of person that I was just describing that helps others and doesn't always think about himself but is unselfish and thinking about others has nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Nothing to be afraid of. God will just help that person and take care of that person. But focus on others, not yourself. But think about others and being good and being righteous. That's the lesson that I see here today. And the understanding that I'm getting out here is God is great, and God is good and kind to all. But we don't always understand why some things go bad and go wrong in our lives. But maybe God is trying to speak to us sometimes, trying to help us. So we better sit up and pay attention to what God's trying to say and change our lives if there's something that needs change. And think more about others. I know I can learn that. It's a good lesson for all of us. Okay, what's your Bible memory for today? What's it about?
I got...
There you are.
Oh, Job was a good father because he would constantly purify his children lest they should have something against God in their hearts.
I chose Noah. He was trying to teach his children to do and his boys to do what's right, even though the whole world was being bad.
Zacharias was a good father, and he was a priest.
I got David. He still loved Absalom and did not want him to get killed, even though Absalom turned on him and tried to kill David.
Jesse was a good father to David because he had him out working so he could learn to be a good man.
Jacob was a good father to Joseph and Benjamin. He took good care of him, and he took really good care of him. And then after Joseph got lost, he wanted to take care, really good care of Benjamin.
Thank you, boy, for that. Now, for next Sunday, I'd like you to bring us examples of children that were good children and listen to their parents. Examples of that in the Bible, okay? So we had godly fathers, and then it's going to be children that listen to their parents, okay? Respect their parents. And for the older boys, just you may go. Lord bless you. Someone that was in authority, under authority, that was knew how to respect authority and follow orders. Okay? So, an example from history or anywhere, or the Bible. So, okay, go ahead.
Noah was a good father. He did what God told him to do, built an ark, and saved his family from the flood.
Abraham was a good father. He was good to Isaac.
I had Abraham too. He was willing to sacrifice his son if that was what God wanted. That's in Genesis 22.
I had Abraham too. He was willing to sacrifice his son that he loved so much, his only son, because he loved the Lord.
David were Absalom tried to get him, take his kingdom away from him, and having killed Absalom, or David just loved him anyways, and told his army not to kill him, because he loved him anyways and wanted to do what was right.
I had Isaac. He was a good father to Jacob and Esau.
I had Abraham. He was a good father to Isaac, even though that God wanted him to kill him. He went to kill him, and then God stopped him because he saw that Abraham was a good father.
I had Paul in the New Testament. He was like a father to all the churches around there.
Abraham, he was willing to kill his son, and that was a good example to his children and everybody after him.